NBC News. I'm Michelle Franzen. A House Oversight Subcommittee approved a motion for the chair to subpoena Ghislaine Maxwell, the ex of Jeffrey Epstein and co-conspirator serving a 20-year prison sentence for sex trafficking. Now Todd Blanche, the deputy attorney general and former defense attorney for President Trump, says he plans to also meet with Maxwell. Here's ABC's Jay O'Brien.
This motion to subpoena Ghislaine Maxwell was approved in a subcommittee of the House Oversight Committee. It was brought forward by Tim Burchett, and it got the Republicans on that panel's support. And so now it advances to Chairman James Comer, who's the chair of the overall House Oversight Committee. It tries to force Comer to subpoena Ghislaine Maxwell, but ultimately it looks like the decision will still rest with James Comer.
The U.S. says it will withdraw from UNESCO effective at the end of 2026. The U.N. agency says the U.S. says it's claiming that the organization works to advance divisive social and cultural causes. This is ABC News. Coca-Cola confirms it will produce and offer a cane sugar version of its trademark later this year.
I like to teach the world to sing.
If you could give the world a Coke, would it be made with high fructose corn syrup or cane sugar? Soon, you'll have your choice. President Trump said last week Coke had agreed to use real cane sugar in its signature product. While Coca-Cola CEO James Quincy didn't exactly confirm that, he did say they plan to expand their offering soon, including a version made with cane sugar, what's been sold in Mexico for years. Quincy also says Coke appreciates the president's enthusiasm in the brand. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
General Motors is out with its second quarter earnings and feeling the effects of the Trump administration's tariff policies. GM reporting more than $1 billion decline in profits compared to the second quarter of last year, marking a 35% slump. It comes a day after Stellantis, the owner of Chrysler and Jeep, said it lost $2.7 billion in the first half of this year, partly due to tariffs. I'm Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
This is the story of the one. As a safety manager at a manufacturing plant, he does everything he can to keep his coworkers safe. From finding ways to reduce risks, to keeping safety supplies in stock. And for that, he relies on Grainger. Grainger offers a broad range of quality products and next-day delivery, so he can always play it safe. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Back to school is on the brain. That means new notebooks, pencils, new everything. And while the kids are getting ready to get book smart, it's time for you to save smart with Straight Talk Wireless. Switch now and get a free Moto G 2025 with 5G when you activate select plans. Now that's a smart call. Get Straight Talk covered by Verizon's 5G network. Available at straighttalk.com and Walmart. Offer valid through 10/19/25. Taxes and fees apply. Purchase of Gold unlimited plan or higher required for offer must activate the plan in-store at Walmart. Cannot be combined with other offers.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Ayler. Shawano County authorities are looking for an armed and dangerous man linked to burglaries involving firearms. 37-year-old Michael Thorson has a felony probation warrant. He is wanted in connection with multiple recent vehicle thefts and burglaries across Shawano and Marathon counties. A stolen vehicle believed to be operated by Thorson was recovered Sunday afternoon in the Stockbridge-Muncie area, but law enforcement was unable to locate him. Anyone with information regarding his whereabouts is asked not to approach him and immediately call law enforcement. A 17-year-old Oneida girl has been taken into custody following a shooting at a Pulaski park.
This is in addition to a 19-year-old who was also arrested in the incident. Around 10:30 p.m. Friday, officers were called to Memorial Park for a report of shots fired, a physical altercation, and a person armed with a knife. Upon arrival, officers found an 18-year-old Green Bay man with a gunshot wound. He was taken to the hospital. A handgun and a knife were recovered at the scene. Police are recommending charges of first-degree recklessly endangering safety, injury by negligent use of a weapon, and disorderly conduct against the 19-year-old. The 17-year-old faces charges of substantial battery, strangulation and suffocation, and disorderly conduct. Further charges could be filed. Rachel Charniak, Wisconsin Radio Network.
A third person has been charged in connection with the kidnapping of a Milwaukee boy earlier this month.
Online court records show 38-year-old Fabian Johnson is charged with being party to kidnapping. Police accuse Johnson of being part of an attempt to ransom a 7-year-old boy to the child's mother, who is an alleged drug dealer. Johnson and two other people allegedly pulled the boy into a van at gunpoint and drove off. The child was found safely the next day. Two other people accused in the case, 25-year-old Corey Williams and an unidentified 14-year-old accomplice, have already been charged. Raymond Newport, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away, so come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Partly sunny and getting warm and muggy today. High temperatures tapping the upper 80s and really with the heat index feeling more like the mid-90s. Then tonight, overnight showers and thunderstorms roll through, continuing through our morning. We'll stay mostly cloudy tomorrow with highs feeling more like 105 degrees. Need a getaway? Check out Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look. Right now, 78 degrees.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
Business conference, and we're trying to figure out what is happening in some cornfields across the Midwest. Then we're going to jump out of my comfort zone and try to figure out what the legislation addressing cryptocurrency issues means today and in the future.
Live from Crown Town, USA, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning, we'll begin with a conversation with Breaking Barriers with R&D, Randy Dowdy and David Hula. Then it's Bob Elliott from Unlimited Funds. Directly following the news, it's Karen Bonert from Farm Journal's Milk. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis, you better hope that they didn't use up all their offense last night. That's all I'm going to say.
You better hope that beef prices don't continue higher, because there's lots of steakhouses here in Kansas City, some of the finest in the world. You know, other towns are known for, you know, cattle slaughter and sort of all this sort of stuff. Yeah. You just can't beat Kansas City. I don't care where you go. Kansas City.
Is that it?
Kansas
City. Is that it?
Yes,
all right.
Sir.
All right.
And
well,
now it turns out you can't beat the baseball team either. I don't know. It's crazy.
That was a thumping. That was a thumping last night. Yes. When the ball started flying out of the park, it was, uh-oh, watch out. It started to snowball on the Cubbies last night. Congratulations. It's a three-game series. Mm-hmm. You are 1-0 in that series at this point. We'll see how it goes tonight.
Well, it gives me no joy. It gives me no joy to, you know, have you involved in this. But, man, it does feel good to beat them Cubbies.
Oh, yeah. The Cubs are 18 games over 500. I think that's where they sit right now. And they just fell to second place. The Brewers have won 11 games in a row.
Hello, Brian Winnikins, WRDN.
Yes, WRDN. The Brewers have moved into first place in the National League Central. Welcome to AgriTalk. We're not talking about any of that on the show today. Welcome.
No.
Glad that you're here.
I know all of that was very hard for you to say. Well done, Chip. Yeah. I'm proud of you. It's a breakthrough.
You know, I'm trying to. We'll see if it works or not. Yeah, I could be in a worse mood tomorrow, though. Just keep that in mind. Breaking Barriers with R&D, Randy Dowdy and David Hula. We've got the guys on the show today. We're going to talk about some of the issues in cornfields across the Midwest. Karen Bonert is coming up here in just a bit. And then at the bottom of the hour, Bob Elliott, from the CEO of Unlimited Funds, is going to be on. And we're going to ask him the cryptocurrency questions that that I've been threatening to get somebody on to ask.
Here we go.
Let's get to the news.
Well, the National Weather Service is calling for dangerous, prolonged heat across portions of the central and southeastern United States through July. Scattered severe thunderstorms are expected over parts of the northern plains into the upper Mississippi Valley today, with damaging winds and large hail as the primary threats. Heavy rainfall could lead to areas of flooding across the northern plains, upper Midwest, southeast, and southwest. Corn and soybean futures prices lower in overnight trading, with corn leading the way on follow-through selling pressure from Monday's losses. Winter wheat futures were narrowly mixed. The U.S. dollar index was near steady, with crude oil prices slightly softer, trading around $66.75 a barrel, just ahead of the open. Chip?
Yeah, I got some lower prices here right now. Steady to slightly lower in soybeans, 2 to 3 cent losses in corn. Wheat is trying to work to the upside again. And feeder cattle futures, believe it or not, there's a new contract high there already today.
Wow.
And the live cattle market is mixed. Hogs, mixed.
The USDA Monday afternoon rated the U.S. corn crop 74% good to excellent as of Sunday. That's unchanged from the previous week. USDA rated the soybean crop 68% good to excellent. That one's down 2 points from last week. The poor to very poor rating on your soybeans there, up 2 points to 7%. The agency rated the U.S. spring wheat crop 52% good to excellent. That one's down 2 points. Winter wheat harvest advanced 10 points to 73% complete. That's just ahead of the five-year average pace. And the cotton crop, 57% good to excellent. That's up 3 points from last week.
The market is still trying to figure out exactly what is going on with some of the issues on that corn crop. It can look great and not be great all at the same time.
Well, traders and investors are awaiting a speech by Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell later today amid mounting pressure on Powell from the Trump administration to resign. President Trump's efforts to target China through its trading partners across global supply chains threatens to erode China's economic growth and most of its exports to the United States. This, according to Bloomberg. If the U.S. is successful in targeting shipments via higher levies or supply chain requirements, it would threaten 70% of China's exports to the U.S. and more than 2.1% of China's gross domestic product. Thailand is reportedly close to a trade agreement with the United States to lower a threatened 36% U.S. tariffs on its exports ahead of the August 1 U.S. trade deal deadline. Thailand's finance minister expects trade talks to conclude within days, that according to Bloomberg. And finally here, Chip, Japan's chief trade negotiator met with U.S. Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick in Washington late Monday. Bloomberg said the two had frank, in-depth discussions toward achieving a mutually beneficial agreement. If we can't make a deal with Japan, Chip, who can we make a deal with? Am I right?
Yeah, that's a really good point. Hopefully Thailand, because a lot of the chip trade happens with Thailand, and we're going to continue to need that or bring the manufacturing home, which is ultimately the goal, I guess. All right, thanks, Davis. Let's bring in Karen Bonert, editor of Farm Journal's Milk. Good morning, Karen.
Hello, Chip.
All right, let's talk about the Milk Business Conference and the awards.
And the awards. Well, first of all, the Milk Business Conference is once again in Las Vegas at the Paris Casino, December 2nd and 3rd. So mark your calendar. But this will be the third year that we do the Milk Business Awards. The applications due August 1st. You can go over on dairyherd.com and get that. Simple application, but we have leader in technology, we have employee excellence, celebrating all our great employees, and the Young Farmer Award. So I encourage people to apply, and for somebody, if you work with a customer, nominate them.
Yeah. Yeah. Or nominate yourself. If this is something yes, and don't be afraid or, you know, embarrassed to do that, right? Step up and do it.
Absolutely. Well, and it's a pretty cool thing that you get to come to Las Vegas. You get to talk to other farms and, you know, and network. You know, you've been to Milk Business Conference.
Absolutely.
You've been there. And it's such a great event to network and get to know what other farms are doing, how they're tackling challenges, and really embracing opportunity. And I think farmers are humble. You're right. And they're modest. And, you know, what am I doing that's so great? But so many of them are doing such extraordinary things. So I encourage everybody to apply.
Yeah, and if you've got a story that you think is important and for others to know, this is the place to tell it.
Absolutely.
Even if you don't apply for the awards, talk to Karen, get in contact with her, and let her know that you've got some innovations happening on your farm that you want to talk about.
You know, Chip, awesome. And last year we had over 1 million cows represented. So I think a lot of times people think these are huge dairies. Some of them are. But we have some smaller, I mean, I should say smaller, it's all relative, but, you know, 500 cow dairies who want to learn from those 20,000 cow dairies on how are you tackling these challenges? How are you looking at return on investment? So much more. It's a place to be in December 2nd and 3rd in Las Vegas.
Go to www.dairyherd.com for more information. We've got Breaking Barriers with R&D next.
When opportunity knocks, you've got to open the door and seize it. Research funded by the Checkoff on the health benefits of full-fat dairy has helped whole milk grow to 47% of fluid milk sales in the U.S., according to consumer data from Circana. The steady gains over the past decade and even more growth in 2024 speak volumes about renewed consumer trust in and preference for whole milk. See why that matters at DairyCheckoff.com.
At Hexagon, we are experts behind the world's most precise machines, from race cars and jets to tractors, sprayers, and combines. In the field, our technology provides farm equipment with sub-inch precision. Pass after pass, field after field, year after year. Anywhere you farm, anytime you need. We are guiding your equipment and maximizing your potential. Keep up with the agriculture evolution by trusting Hexagon in your fields. This is how Hexagon is empowering agriculture. See how at Hexagon.com.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're looking for promises to overcome yield-threatening challenges, you might go with Big Seed. But if you're looking for real results, go local with Champion Seed. We know that what yields in one field may not be the right seed for the field across the road. That's why we test hundreds of traits and genetics every year to handpick a seed lineup that will perform. And we use local data to dial in on what grows best in your ground. Every field deserves its champion. Find yours at plantchampion.com.
When the game is...
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit WICorn.org and become a member today.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Champion Seed. Every field deserves its champion. Find yours at plantchampion.com.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Glad that you're with us on this Tuesday morning. Breaking Barriers with R&D. Randy Doughty and David Hula. Let's bring them in here. Randy, it's good to talk with you again. How are you?
Hey, Chip. It's my good pleasure to be here. We got a little surprise for you. Me and David are both in the truck together. So you get both of us, and I get to backhand him if he gets too mean to me, and then I'm sure he'll trip me today in the field.
Love it. Love it. Love it. So what are you guys out doing? Well, I should say, hey, David, how's it going?
Well, I told Joe earlier, I said, I've had better looking people in the car with me than Randy.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But it is good to have, it is always good to be around Dowdy.
No, I wish I was there now. Good grief. Getting you guys together is a lot of fun. Okay. So Randy, what are you guys doing?
We are doing our second leg of the Total Acre Summer Tours. Say second leg, we did all the whole United States, Midwest, etc. In our first round, and this is our second round of crop tours for the summer. Now we're looking at everything post-tassel. We are in Kentucky. We're just outside of Louisville, and we're going to see some progressive growers that have been a part of Total Acre for quite some time. Drew Langley, we did our podcast with him this past week, and Yep. We're actually visiting his farm today, looking forward to seeing what he's got going on. He's pushing some beans, pushing some corn, and we'll have a lot of Total Acre members there. But we'll be looking at fields of corn and maybe even look at, I think wheat harvest is about done here, and they're planting some beans behind it. But we'll be looking at corn and some full-season beans for sure.
Okay. All right. David, I was looking at an article on eggweb.com. Rhonda talked to you guys, and it was from your latest podcast. Some pollination issues out there, huh?
Yeah, you know, I saw the article Ken sent, and you know, we were identifying some pollination problems, not knowing what Ken Ferry had sent about the tight pollen. I mean, the tight world where it wasn't letting the tassels come out, but. At first, when you go out there and you see pollination problems, you think, all right, what did I do wrong? And then I was seeing it on some other farms, and it was during a particular week because we were hot. You know, we had high heat index, high humidities, and just hot. And I'm thinking it was more pollen, you know, because we've heard like pollen bursts, and we're getting sections of the pollen just not pollinating. Is it all about the tight whorl? I'm not going to say it's all about that, but I do feel that that contributed to it. But it's not one hybrid. So the other thing, and, you know, farmers got to think, all right, if this is going to be a problem with genetics, how do we manage risk? So in doing so, you just plant different hybrids in the same planter when you're going across the field. We split the planter up two, maybe three hybrids. That's, you know, I've heard Dowdy say that's air calls and puts, and that we're spreading risk out for marketing, but I'm spreading risk out in other ways, pollination, moisture, and how one can manage it. So there are a lot of ways that growers can take advantage and do that.
Now, how do you, if you're putting different hybrids in the same cornfield, how do you decide which hybrids are going to work together to offset that risk?
Yeah, well, we look at, you know, I'll get the Pioneer book, and I'll look at how many GDUs still flowering. And then, so we'll pick similar CRMs, match the flower, or match CRMs within a range, because, you know, if you're going to dry corn, you don't want a 24% corn mixed in with a 19% corn, because the dryer's got to work too hard then.
Right.
So we try to get similar CRMs, different flowering dates. The best thing to do is plant a big hybrid trial and then go out there and monitor it as it starts flowering. Take notes, say, hey, this one's flowering here, and then you get maybe 4 or 5 days later and say, this one's flowering. And then you look at moistures at harvest, and, you know, that's an easy way. Or you can just look at catalogs.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems like a lot of study and a lot of effort, but, Randy, it's the kind of stuff that you got to do if you're gonna manage this risk, right?
Chip, it's a no-brainer. You got to. Nobody knows at planting what the weather's going to be like 60, 80, 90, 100 days later. And most hybrids, it's about 60 days from planting, depending on how they accumulate heat as to when we get flower. So now what goes on from day 60 to whatever their relative maturity is paramount to not have stress. And now how do you mitigate risk in that process? So if you got a good salesman and a good guy that's not just selling hybrids that they predicted 18 months ago but understands the varieties, they can help you make, you know, hybrid selection and varietal selections on the beans to offset some of that risk. But, you know, I have said numerous times, you got to be a steward of the crop, Chip, and hope's a strategy, but it's not a good one. So David has said many times he surrounds himself with good people, but he also has data of his own off his own farm that he takes and obviously gleans information from it and makes good decisions from it. But it's not about just buying certain varieties or certain hybrids because they yield well. It's about spreading risk and helping yourself have less exposure. So where there's a will, there's a way, Chip. You just got to put forth the effort.
Yep, that's right. And it looks like the pollination issues are, you know, it's not across the board, and there are certain planting windows that are having in that that might be having more issues than others. David, that means that there's an environmental trigger on this, right?
Yeah. Well, first of all, you know, the hybrids are maturing based off GDUs. And then if you take a grower that planted the same hybrid, and, you know, we got such good planting power now. You know, they're planting 200 some acres a day. And they're using one hybrid. Now, you know, some they got a lot of risk exposure there. So, yeah, if we all had the same kind of heat, you know, it seemed like the whole country experienced some kind of heat. And when was those particular hybrids pollinate? Because I have some hundred day corns that were just hammered hard, and then we get into the 114 day corns. So it's not about when you planted it; it's all about when it was feeling that heat. And you know, we plant some short season stuff early. We plant short season stuff late because you know we're trying to keep a dryer going. And we're trying to keep combines, you know, everything going. So we don't want it all to happen at the same time.
And Chip, I like to throw this in there too, Chip. we have said numerous times, you know, we do have a lot of planting power. And, you know, there are people that have a joked many times about how many acres most of the guys are 7 to 10 days. They like to plant it all in 7 to 10 day window. It's even more with years like this year. Spreading risk should be a top priority, not just planting everything and getting it done. We all know that harvesting high moisture corn pays. And I don't know that anybody that's invested in a dryer or a bin that either they did the work beforehand or they had enough proof to make that decision that harvesting high moisture corn pays. Well, if you can't harvest all your crop in 7 to 10 days, why plant it in all of a 7 to 10 day window? Okay. Because now, you know, I've told my total acre growers many times, I said, y'all going to make me start praying that y'all have a separation in planting, you know, at planting time, get some rain. So you
delay.
Get shut down for 2 weeks. So you can actually see how the planter's performing. Maybe get some corn up before you're through planting and see if you got a problem with the planter so all your eggs are not in one basket. It's the same logic by spreading risk across pollination, spreading across a planting window, but also understanding there's proven yield in harvesting high moisture corn.
Yep.
So all of these are ways to spread risk to put money in the bank.
Gotcha. Good counsel here, guys. We've got only a minute left. There's a lot of warm heat in the forecast, including some high nighttime temperatures. David, just give me 30 seconds on the concerns with high nighttime temps.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I worry about stress mitigation there. So, you know, corn wants to cool down. You know, it likes the heat during the day, but it needs to cool down. And, you know, what is that temperature? I like to say I don't want my corn to get below 74 degrees. There are a lot of times we don't see that. So as a grower, he needs to think about ways to help cool this plant down. You know, sometimes that's fungicides, but we also got to make sure we got to be watching out for diseases. You know, certain diseases like the tar spot's not a big fan of this hot temperature.
Right.
But we've had moisture, and when you get hot temperatures, you oftentimes get a lot of dews. So we got to be careful with that too. So stay on top.
Very good. Yep. And we've got reports of southern rust in Iowa already this year. So they kind of like the heat and the moisture.
Yeah.
All right, fellas, be safe out there. We'll talk to you again here in a couple of weeks.
Take care, Chip.
All right, Randy Doughty, David Hula, Breaking Barriers with R&D. We're talking crypto next.
When the game is on the line, championship teams know the game plan. They communicate and work together to win. We all need a game plan to protect ourselves online. Talk to family and friends so they know how to stay safe too. Create strong passwords, turn on multi-factor authentication, update software, and recognize and report phishing. Because online safety is not something you want to fumble. Get more game-winning tips at cisa.gov/secureourworld. Then share them with family and friends.
Anyone can choose to make a difference. You can help people succeed, rebuild after disasters, protect the environment, or feed the hungry. Not only will you make a difference for others, but for yourself. You can earn money for college, learn career skills, and make friendships that last a lifetime. Make a difference. Choose your future. Choose AmeriCorps.
This summer, lock in peace of mind and propane savings. Elsevia's summer fill program knocks 10 cents off every gallon automatically. That's up to $100 back in your pocket just for filling your tank early. Plus, now's the time to sign your energy contract for next heating season. One less thing to stress about this winter. Call Elsevia's energy team today, 608-819-3140 to get started. 608-819-3140 to get started. Restrictions apply. Call for details. Milk markets are lower with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, August and September milk both down 7. August at 1756. September 1802. October down 6 to 1844. November down 10 at 1840. Meanwhile, live and feeder cattle markets moving up mostly higher to a little bit mixed, especially in the live cattle markets. There is a little bit of profit taking. However, feeder cattle moving higher due to concerns about potential heat stress with the big heat dome forming over the U.S., and that is helping feeder cattle markets along with that strong demand. Hog markets mostly higher as well, again, about a short covering, helping to continue to support the markets, even though pork cutout values are lower. August live cattle down 7 cents to 225.15. August feeder cattle up 72 cents to 328.32. August hogs up 45 cents to 107.80. Chicago Board of Trade, corn and soybeans moving mostly lower. Really a lack of fresh bullish news to really move the markets higher. Weather, while warming up, there's been enough moisture as of late, and so crop conditions aren't expected to be adversely affected. Wheat markets higher on easing harvest pressure and also another day of the weaker dollar. New crop corn down 3 3/4 to 418.5. New crop beans down 1.5 to 1024.5. September wheat up 6 3/4 to 549. Minneapolis wheat September up 7 to 593.5.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care, plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
Hey, how was your day?
Great! Don't forget, Sam's practice starts an hour early.
I'm going right now.
Sam, are you ready? Coming!
I have that meeting at school. I'll see you later.
Life is busy. Your healthcare should keep up. At Amplify Health in Mondovi, we get it. Our primary care is built around what you need when you need it, with same-day, in-person, or video appointments available. Because sometimes feeling seen and understood means actually being seen. A little empathy changes everything.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. Learn from the experts at Yield Academy in Rochester, Minnesota on August 21st. Use promo code AgriTalk for a 50% discount. Go to farmjournalyieldacademy.com.
Randy Dowdy and David Hula are going to be up there at that Farm Journal Yield Academy. One of the experts, along with Ken Ferry. Machinery Pete, Casey Seymour, Shea Folk, who else? Dan Bossy. Bossy is going to be there. So it's quite the agenda that we've got lined up there for Farm Journal Yield Academy. So, all right.
Use the
welcome back.
When you sign up, use AgriTalk. Yes. Save 50% off the ticket
price.
Yes.
Perfect. Perfect. Let's get into this conversation with Bob Elliott, CEO of Unlimited Funds. Bob, it is great to talk with you again. How are you?
Good, good. Thanks so much for having me on.
You bet. Well, you were the guy that I thought of when they started passing the cryptocurrency stablecoin legislation last week to get on here and explain a couple of things to us, what it is, why it is, and why does it matter, is what I want to talk about. Start with the Genius Act. What exactly is it?
Well, I think the core of it is
is creating a regulatory infrastructure for what are called stable coins. And okay. What stable coins are a cryptocurrency that has a fixed value, usually in U.S. dollars, that is backed by a set of safe securities. And so in the same way, you know, probably lots of your listeners are familiar with money market funds, you know, which are backed by treasury securities and bank deposits, so too are these stable coins backed by the same sort of securities. And so this sort of went from a bit of the Wild West in terms of coins that were out there to something that is much more constrained, regulated, and frankly safe on a forward-looking basis.
Okay. I thought that was part of the attraction of cryptocurrency, the fact that it was unregulated. Now we're bringing regulation into it. Why is that needed?
Well, I think there's two different areas there. You know, there's certainly a lot of cryptocurrency assets which are used for speculation and investment, and those remain, you know, depending on the assets, somewhat pretty unregulated, all things considered. And then there is using cryptocurrencies as transaction vehicles. I mean, we all know how painful it is to try and send money anywhere in any short period of time, whether it's fees or size or all those things, time that it takes. And so the idea is using these stable coins are essentially a money transfer infrastructure that is much more instantaneous than, you know, the existing Fedwire structure, ACH, and things like that. So with these in place, in some ways what it's doing is it's just creating a new set of financial rails that exist that sort of modernize the U.S. and dollar payment system.
Okay. Now, this is for large-scale transfer, right? This isn't for, you know, I'm going to go in and buy a cup of coffee with a stable coin, right?
Yeah, I think the sort of day-to-day commercial activity is, you know, still works in dollars and still, I mean, predominantly works on credit cards, et cetera.
Yeah.
This is more for, you know, a simple example is like Zelle, which I'm sure lots of, you know, folks who are listening use. You know, you can only transfer $3,000 on a Zelle transaction. And it's instantaneous, which is convenient, but it's small. Say you're a business that wants to transfer, you know, to a different entity or transfer money offshore and then back onshore. That typically can take days to actually occur. The idea about a stablecoin is instead of going through the banking system, what you do is you buy a stable coin and then you can hand that coin to another person, that value of that coin, and they can then transfer that money into their bank account more quickly. And that's really where the big reason why this is being developed is that the big financial institutions like Citibank, Bank of America, et cetera, they're all going to develop their own individual stable coin. And so instead of those sort of painful transactions that exist today, they'll basically build a new payment transfer infrastructure using stablecoins as the core, as kind of like the technology. It's probably best thought about as a technology rather than an investment asset.
Okay. You just helped me. Because I'm trying to figure out if it is pegged to the dollar, why not just use dollars, right?
Right.
But if it's technology instead of a currency, I might be starting to get this.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. It's really about swiftness in payments, and that, like, one of the for folks who are not sort of familiar with the nuts and bolts of the U.S. payment system, you know, a lot of it was built 50 plus years ago, and we're still running on those rails,
right.
Meaning like banks transferring money back and forth to each other is like 50 to 75 years old, which is, you know, everything else in the world has come along quite a ways in the last 50 or 75 years relative to the bank payment infrastructure. And so it's just simply a new way. It's leveraging that sort of crypto, which is really the blockchain technology. The main issue was that the existing stablecoins that were out there were Unfortunately, they were backed by, they were speculative in many ways, backed by all sorts of different assets. By putting this legislation in place, you now know if you buy a stable coin, what it's backed by is U.S., you know, treasury bills, bank deposits, repo transactions, the same stuff that backs your money market fund. And so in that way, you could almost think about it like an instantaneous payment infrastructure that kind of looks like a money market fund to sort of the, you know, to sort of a traditional finance audience.
Okay. That also explains why some of the oversight of the stable coins is going to move from the SEC over to the CFTC, correct?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the question, the regulatory infrastructure for this stuff has always been a question. And I think part of the question is, you know, is it a financial security? Is it a security or not a security, et cetera, and trying to find the right home? And so the shift in regulatory infrastructure, I think, is just trying to find the right regulators who have the experience with these assets to be able to do it. And the CFTC has already monitored things like Bitcoin futures and stuff like that. So they're really the best equipped to be able to handle this.
Gotcha. Okay. Why in the heck is Bitcoin at $118,000?
It's a good question. I think, Bitcoin in many ways, you kind of think about it as two different assets. It's a speculative asset. And it's a contra currency asset. So speculative like stocks, contra currency like gold. It kind of has both of those properties. And if we look at sort of what's going on in terms of the broader financial markets, you know, equity markets have rebounded after the post Liberation Day announcements, and so they're pushing to new highs or at new highs. And similarly, we're seeing concerns about the U.S. fiscal expansion dynamic. Causing people to put money into gold in order to safeguard their real purchasing power. Gold actually today pushing to new highs as well. And so in some ways, what you see is Bitcoin is the combination of both of those assets. And so it's, you know, both of them are pushing Bitcoin in that way. And, you know, it's in some ways, in the same way, you know, you and I might buy stocks and gold, you know, the under 30 crowd, they buy Bitcoin. And that's just, you know, they're more crypto native than the older generation.
Right. Okay. So what does that 118,000 represent? Is it the value of one Bitcoin or the cumulative investment of the under 30 crowd?
Well, the price that you're describing is the value of a single Bitcoin. You could think about it like the total exposure, the total assets that are in Bitcoin, in the market are that 118,000 times the number of Bitcoins that are out there, and it adds up to a couple of $1 trillion in terms of overall value, which is big, sounds big, certainly, but relative to other financial assets, like, you know, gold is about 10 times bigger. The stock market is, 25 to 50 times bigger, depending on how you look at it. And so, you know, Bitcoin is still in many ways a very nascent financial asset. And you've started to see flows into it through ETFs and other institutional managers, but it's very, very early stage. And as I said, very concentrated in younger investors and also a lot of global demand for Bitcoin. It's, you know, the U.S. actually only represents, you know, something like a fifth of the overall Bitcoin demand in the world. And so it's really also a global asset that younger investors are interested in.
Okay. All right. Only got 30 seconds left. Is cryptocurrency, should it be in a portfolio, in an investment portfolio?
Well, as I mentioned, you know, it has properties of both stocks and gold, and I think both of those are a little more direct in terms of getting the sort of exposures that you're looking for. So I personally wouldn't recommend putting those assets in your portfolio, but if you are, you got to recognize they're very volatile. So don't go too much into them, or you're going to experience a lot of volatility.
You know, I feel better educated now, Bob. Thank you. I appreciate you, man. You know that.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. Happy to do it.
Yeah, excellent, excellent. Bob Elliott, CEO of Unlimited Funds. Davis and I will be right back.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Turn your book idea into publishing gold.
800-215-6818. 800-215-6818. That's 800-215-6818.
Lowe's knows big savings make a big difference, especially when you're shopping for appliances. Hurry in to get up to 30% off select major appliances. Plus, MyLowe's Rewards members get free delivery, free haulaway, free installation and parts on purchases of $2,500 or more. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/30. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Price, delivery time, and vehicle availability may vary based on order size and location. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com/delivery for more details.
David was in big trouble with the IRS.
At first, I didn't owe that much, but after this year, it was out of control.
Then David called Get a Tax Lawyer.
Right away, they were like, oh yeah, looks like you're qualified to save.
Get a Tax Lawyer went to work.
Should have called way sooner.
Get a Tax Lawyer has helped thousands like David fight the IRS and get a fresh start.
Call 800-745-3070. That's 800-745-3070.
When you're hiring, have you ever felt like you're missing out on meeting great candidates? Well, they're not hard to find when you go to ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter helps 10 million people with their job search every day. People who are actively looking for jobs like yours. So it's easy to find the right person fast. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Heights, speaking in public, the list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report. Join me each weekend as we explore the news and issues that matter the most to agriculture. We know this past year has been challenging in many ways, but as agriculture continues to adapt, we are right there with you. From markets to weather, each weekend we take a deep dive into what matters most. Join me each weekend for U.S. Farm Report, timely, trusted tradition.
If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of pricking your fingers over and over again. By wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers right away. If you're testing your blood sugar 4 or more times per day, injecting insulin 3 or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, call the Diabetic Health Hotline today and learn about the latest CGM technology. A CGM can immediately reduce pain. It's accurate, easy to use, and helps you make better diabetes treatment decisions. And if you have Medicare, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Plus, get free shipping, and we'll bill your insurance company for you. Call now to receive your new continuous glucose monitor at little or no out-of-pocket cost.
Paid for by U.S. Medical Supply.
Call 800-409-1936. That's 800-409-1936. Again, 800-409-1936. That's 800-409-1936.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-515-1548.
That's right, annuity do's and don'ts for baby boomers and annuity rate report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-515-1548. That's 800-515-1548.
Sponsored by Annuity General, producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
AgriTalk is brought to you by FBN Finance, helping family farms through tough times with land loan rates as low as 5.51% for well-qualified borrowers. Rates subject to credit approval and may vary. Visit FBN.com/AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. So glad that you are along with us today. Your pal, Davis Michelson, here in the victorious city, the city of victory, the city of fountains, the city of celebration, geez. Kansas City,
holy
USA.
Mackerel.
Oh, Chip's here, too. Chip's here, too.
Okay.
Joining
Jeez.
Me. Chip Lorre.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. We said we weren't going to talk about it here, but Bob
we
Elliott tried to help
the
us
time.
Get
our... We get to the break before this break, and we say, you know what? We need to do a little bit more figuring before we talk about that, and here we go.
I'm going to try and hobble the conversation. As I understand it, cryptocurrencies are just food for robots. Is that it? It's the little pills that you would, like, you know, you put in a quarter, and it, and you can feed the carp up over the side there.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a little.
Is that how we're going to call it?
That helps me visualize it. Yes. It's robot
okay.
food. One wonder.
Robot
okay.
food.
But when we're looking ahead to AI financial infrastructure, the whole AI thing terrifies me.
Mm-hmm.
But AI is going to need something like this. We're going to need something
right.
like this to be able to navigate that AI
right.
world. That I absolutely understand. And maybe robot food isn't quite the right term for it, but that's what it is.
But it's blockchain. That's so I'll admit what I did during the break. Finally, you know, and I've done it before, and I've looked at
sure.
it, and I'm trying to. But I just went to the Google machine and said, "Explain blockchain to me like I'm a third grader."
Mm-hmm.
The overview. A blockchain is like a special shared notebook that many people have copies of. Imagine you and your friends all have a notebook, and every time someone does something important, like sharing a toy or trading a snack, everyone writes it down in their own notebook. So, a blockchain is a way to keep track of important things in a very safe and honest way because lots of people have a copy. And it's super hard to trick or change anything once it's written down.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. Nighttime temperatures, way too high for this corn to be comfortable. Am I right?
Yes.
I'm going to stay on
yes.
top of my fungicide, too, by the way.
Right.
Thinking about that.
Yes, yeah. Now, it was. I thought it was interesting when David said we need to give that plant and different ways of cooling down, including a fungicide.
Yeah, that caught my attention. That's interesting.
Yes, yes. You know, these fungicides, they do more than what was anticipated in the original use. And people have figured out how to use the... how to use it in different ways. Okay. Some big time plant breeders. I'll just put it that way. I've heard them talk about using fungicides to change the way and using multiple applications of fungicides in order to change the way that plants behave.
Mm-hmm.
And it's different. It has different abilities to alter how the plants are responding to it, to their environment. And David basically just said it. You know, one of the things that I think is really important is that maybe you're using some fungicides to help that plant cool down at night.
Yeah, yeah. That was very interesting. Nice. Well,
right.
And the idea of spreading your risk, here's what he said. Spread risk to put money in the bank. And that comes in many different forms, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. You know, we talk about puts and calls all the time on the afternoon show. Mm-hmm. And they David made a reference that Randy likes to say, you know, you're using puts and calls, that the way that you spread the risk out in production is similar to using puts and calls. And they just think differently about it. You know, I'm going to bring it back to that notebook, all right? They are making notes constantly about and learning on their own of what it takes to grow the biggest corn crop, the biggest bean crop. That notebook has gotten thick over the years with those two guys. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, with Dowdy, a first-gen farmer, he just accepted the fact that he didn't know how to grow corn out the gate and didn't know how to grow beans. And so he asked all the questions and continues to ask all the questions, not only of the agronomist that he's working with, but he's also asking himself, what else don't I know about growing corn? What would happen if we do this? What would happen if we do that? I think that's the reason that I find the conversation with those guys so fascinating.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, they've certainly got a good reach, and but it's not the kind of confirmation that you hope for, but another confirmation nighttime of the pollination problems. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And the nighttime temperatures, it's starting to get more and more of the conversation. And, you know, the bottom line here is that if it typically takes 60 days to get from pollination to black layer on a hybrid, if you speed that process up because you don't give the plant an opportunity to rest at night, and say it takes 56 days, well, it doesn't sound like much, but that's 4 out of 60. That's about 7.5% right there. Now, if you shorten the time up for that kernel to gain weight by 7.5%, that has an impact on yield. There's just no denying that. All right, hey, we're going to talk more about that and agronomic issues. There's no question about it. But come back this afternoon. We're going to be talking markets. We've got Chris Robinson, Robinson Ag Marketing, right here on AgriTalk.
There's danger out there. It lurks on highways and quiet neighborhood streets. It's more likely to kill you than a shark and more terrifying than the biggest snake. Distracted driving claims lives every day. Every notification, swipe, social post, video, or selfie while driving risks your life. So while you might think public speaking or the zombie apocalypse is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report. And more than a host, I'm a journalist, a wife, and a mom of two, raising a family in the heart of rural America. I understand the issues facing agriculture today because I live it every day. I see firsthand how farming and ranching isn't just a job, it's a way of life. Covering America's most important industry is what we do, and it's why U.S. Farm Report has been on the air for nearly 50 years. I invite you to join us every weekend for U.S. Farm Report, a timely, trusted tradition.
Staples presents That Was Easy.
Big year. I'm starting middle school.
Welcome to the jungle, Missy.
Best part? My parents promised me a new laptop.
Perfect for homework, essays, and drudgery.
So we went to Staples. They had all the latest tech, and laptops were up to 40% off.
Woo! Another back-to-school budget saved by Staples Easy Button.
Mom high-fived the cashier. So embarrassing.
Staples.
That was easy.
In-store, online, and on the app. In T23, select models only.
Gain Super Flings are here to take your laundry to the next level.
Talking about Gain Super Flings.
oversized laundry packs. These things are huge. Super fresh, super clean. Gain Super Flings.
Gain Super Flings laundry packs have 4 times the Oxi cleaning power and 3 times the Febreze freshness versus Gain Original Liquid.
Super fresh, super clean. Gain Super Flings.
Gain Super Flings for next level laundry.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. British rocker Ozzy Osbourne, the frontman for the heavy metal band Black Sabbath, has died. His family announced his death, saying he passed away surrounded by family. Osbourne was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease in 2000.